Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you for having me here today. My presentation, I think, is going to be a little different than my other colleagues here. It's going to share with you our approach, as well as share with you an intervention that we have developed that we believe is the way that we can transform the lives of the most underserved individuals in the communities, not just in Cincinnati, but across the country. And I don't have any financial connections to disclose. So I'm going to begin with the health gaps model. And our belief is that our work starts in the grassroots. It starts with the very people most impacted by health disparities, and that they must be a part of the development of the solution. And so I'm going to walk you through our grassroots mobilization model and then go into our actual intervention. So our grassroots mobilization model to eliminate health disparities has three key components, the first being engaging. So engaging the very residents in the community, engaging all of the stakeholders from hospitals to health organizations to schools, to all of the stakeholders that play a role in the environment being one of a culture of health. To work collaboratively to conduct community research as well as other interventions to change the health behaviors of the community. Empower. Empower is the key component of our work, I believe. And that is where we educate. And we educate through teaching, through interventions we've created to navigate the healthcare system, how to choose and why it's important to have a primary care physician, how to be a compliant patient and why that is important, and how to learn those skills so that you can advocate for yourself with your physician or practitioner. Health literacy, understanding all aspects of what's being discussed with you or discussed about you, and how to make healthier choices. What we've seen is the more informed individual leads to other individuals then collectively working to advocate around the barriers to improve the overall health. And so from advocacy around understanding what all of the assets are or barriers are in a neighborhood, and then how to begin to work collaboratively with other stakeholders to address those barriers, teaching residents how to advocate for the needed resources to improve the health of their community, and advocating for public policy that supports the overall well-being, and then finally, advocating for access to health care. Now, I know with the Affordable Care Act, there's greater opportunity for more individuals in our communities to have access to care. But when we talk about access to health care here, it's really getting those health care institutions to understand how they need to serve the needs of the community. That means being open at time frames that people actually can get an appointment, understanding the barriers to getting to that appointment, and really understanding more of the social determinants and conditions that may cause a person to not be as compliant as a physician believes they should be. So that's what we mean by access to health care. So these three key components and equipping and empowering individuals in the community with these three components will ultimately lead to a culture of health that will enable us to have policies driven from the grassroots community that are going to enable them to have decreased morbidity and decreased mortality for the entire neighborhood. And so now I turn to our Do Right campaign. In 2005, we established the Do Right campaign, which is a family obesity campaign really focused on three simple principles of teaching individuals how to eat right, move right, and live right. So the mission of our Do Right campaign is to empower communities to improve their nutrition and physical activity. We started off working in neighborhoods, and we had worked in about five neighborhoods and found that, wow, we were increasing the awareness, we were increasing participation in activities, but then there were questions asked of us as, you know, well, how do you know people are sustaining what they're learning? You know what? You raise a really good point. We've spent so much time focused on building the awareness that we need to step back and assess, really, how are we going to build the infrastructure at a neighborhood level to ensure that the individuals in the community are going to have all the tools they need to increase their healthy eating and to increase physical activity and to overall address all of these factors through the conditions of that neighborhood from a built environment perspective. And so we embarked upon the Do Right block by block, which is what you're here to learn more about. So before I talk about the conceptual model, one of the challenges we as an organization have faced is finding the right research partners that understand our approach and our desire to empower individuals and to make research not just a topic of discussion to lead to publication, but research that then individuals in the community can be a part of. And so that's what CBPR is all about. So that is the approach we utilize in all of our work. And, you know, as we looked at our successes from the Do Right campaign from a neighborhood perspective, there were lots of successes. And, you know, what was really kind of a funny story is people would go, hey, did you hear about that Do Right campaign? They would tell our staff that. Well, yeah, that's our campaign. Because our name is long, and so, you know, Do Right, we're glad that that branding stuck and people started thinking about, you know, how they could easily learn how to move, eat, and live right. And so, you know, as we started developing our Do Right block by block, we couldn't find the right research partners in our community to really help us develop the research components to this. And so we started with our academic institution. By the way, the things I'm saying, I've shared with the very people I'm going to be talking about. So, we didn't feel that the experience existed within the academic partner to really allow us to kind of get the direction that we needed. And so we were fortunate enough to have a relationship with ACORN. I'm assuming many of you know what ACORN is. And if yes, some people are going, no. I may say the acronym or say it wrong, but it's an African American research network of African American researchers across the country focused on obesity. That's not what the acronym is, but that's what we do. And so we were really fortunate to be invited to be a community-based partner in ACORN. And so through that network, we met a couple of researchers, Dr. Bettina Beach, and we also met Dr. Melissa Witt Glover. And so we worked with Dr. Bettina Beach for a while, and then she was blessed with an opportunity to get two NIH grants at Wake Forest. So we then had to identify someone else. And so she recommended one of her colleagues, Dr. Melissa Witt Glover, who has her own research firm called Gramercy Research. And so she is our research partner. And we embarked upon the Do Right block by block. So this is our conceptual model, which really is focused on increasing the energy intake and energy expenditure while increasing self-efficacy and social cohesion at a neighborhood block level so that we have sustained health behaviors, that we utilize those networks to support developing a norm of culture of health being in the neighborhood while, you know, promoting collective action at a block level, which ultimately will lead to neighborhood-level social support and advocacy for healthy lifestyle in the neighborhood. But the question is, what do those tools look like? So let's walk through. So our block by block has two aims: to determine the efficacy of the resident-led block by block lifestyle modification based on 5-3-2-1 almost none. So that's the metric that everyone participating in the block by block are working towards. And then our second aim was to evaluate the impact of the block by block intervention on neighborhood resident self-efficacy so that they then would be able to advocate for the changes needed to improve the built environment so that we could sustain what they're learning. So we looked at the block watch model as our way to develop our block by block. So, you know, as you know from Neighborhood Watch, you've got a block captain, you have Neighborhood Watch participants, you have law enforcement that provide the knowledge and expertise. So in our Do Right block by block, we have health champions. These are individual residents recruited who self-recruit, self-identify themselves and say, hey, I want to take on a bigger leadership role. Program participants are the residents in the community, and the health gap, we really are their consultants. So there are four components to the block by block. So phase one is recruitment and canvassing. And so in this phase, we actually recruit health champions. We train them through a 10-week training. That training involves anywhere from learning how to run a meeting to understanding some of the key components of nutrition and physical activity from a practitioner perspective, and actually then bringing in different consultants to train them on those components. As well as engaging the health champions and actually going out and being a part of the recruitment and canvassing about the Do Right block by block. I know I made some revisions in the slides, so hopefully I didn't eliminate something. And if I do, I'll maybe stop and tell you a little bit more about what I eliminated. So this is one of the postcards that was disseminated to all of the residents. We've used about three different methods of communication. So we mailed to all the registered voters, and you may ask us why just the registered voters. We believe that this is the approach that should not only be used in Greater Cincinnati, but it should be used across the country. And so when we developed the intervention, we developed it with the lens of being able to replicate it in other parts of the country. So we use voter registration guide as our means to reach the residents. And, you know, there are some theory and some data that shows that a more informed individual is more likely to be a registered voter. And so we're going to start with those people who are most likely interested in changing their condition. And then we went door-to-door canvassing. So this is one of our health, I stumble because we used to call them health captains. So I'll tell you why we changed it to health champions. But so this is one of the health champions going door-to-door. And what was interesting in the recruitment and canvassing phase of the work, at first, people were kind of like, well, what's that all about? Is this just another program somebody's bringing into the neighborhood? And so it took probably at least 6 weeks of door-to-door canvassing to finally have residents go, hey, wait a minute, I saw that T-shirt. Tell me a little bit more about it. So, I mean, this work is hard. And the trust is why it's so hard. I mean, people have had work done to them, research done on them, but not really been given the opportunity to say, hey, you know, this is your neighborhood. This is your life. How do you think we can work together to address what you see your life becoming? And that's, it's very interesting. Most people, say, well, okay, so really, tell me, why are you asking me these questions? Do you really care about what I think? I'm like, yeah, because this work isn't about me. This is about you. And we have to understand where you are so that we can work together to develop strategies to help you improve your health. Because you said you want to be here to do that. But I don't have the answer for you. You have to help me get it. So I think that's a really important component. And the training work that went with the health champions really was very eye-opening for us. And I actually have one of our staff people here who I may, when we get to the question and answer period, she has some specific stories that you would love to hear. The other piece in phase two that occurred was the needs assessment. So we trained the residents to conduct the needs assessment. So they did the quantitative survey assessments as well as the qualitative assessments utilizing Photo Voice. We also conducted focus groups with the health champions before the intervention began and at the conclusion of the intervention, and then we did a follow-up focus group with all of the participants as well. So it's really important for us to understand kind of where people started and where they concluded so that can inform, frankly, where we are headed. So that's phase two, and here's some of the topics that the health champions learned. Some photos from their photo voice, and again, when they told their stories from the photos they took, this is one slide that we share because there's a really exciting story outcome to share. This is a picture of a basketball court, and you see a fifth of it's paved. And what the resident said was, use whatever resources you can find to get a good workout. So while this is a barrier, this was all the residents had to use. But they said, you know what? We're going to make use of what's here for now. Some more photos of the photo voice process. So then phase three is actual implementation of the intervention. So this is the exciting part. And in some ways, the scary part for some of the health captains, because they thought, well, we're just going to leave the room. We didn't leave the room. We stayed there in the back of the room. But they delivered the 12-week intervention. And we were in the back just observing. Never did we get involved in instructing. The curriculum comprised our Eat, Live, and Move Right. And each week of curriculum had a different incentive that was associated with the curriculum that they were learning. Some of the examples are we provided crock pots to all the participants along with recipes, and they learned together. We cooked together with that crock pot, and then they left with 50 recipes that they could then utilize at home. In the Eat Right section, we also did a shopping excursion and learned how to shop together on a budget. So, again, equipping people with the tools through the 12-week intervention. Evaluation is so important so that we can learn and see how then we can expand and improve upon the pilot. So in the evaluation phase, here's what we learned. 15 participants, these are 15 households. So our approach is one individual per household, so that that household member becomes more informed and then can really inform their whole household, be it their children or other family members that may be living with them. We conducted both pre- and post-data collection. And in the implementation of the intervention, we saw consistent attendance of all of the household participants, increased knowledge, increased awareness, and improved behaviors. So our next steps are to expand our block-by-block model, informed by what we learned and from our post-assessments from the participants. And so, believe it or not, they said they wanted more time. I don't know if you believe that or not, but so it was a 12-week intervention. They wanted it to be 16. They wanted it to be longer. So it's now 16 weeks. Actually, it's a total of 20 weeks. So the intervention itself is 16 weeks. And then we have 4 weeks of transition. Because one of the things that we did see in the intervention was that the health champions were providing instruction. And sometimes when you start, you're a little nervous. So the health captains, you know, wanted to follow the letter of the law of what, you know, we had trained them. And so that there wasn't a lot of opportunity in their teaching to actually engage people along each week of curriculum. So in some of the sessions, people start saying, well, yeah, maybe we could go out and do a walking club together. And it's like, oh, no, that's not what the intervention says. We can't go off and do that. And so, you know, as we're doing the pilot, we couldn't really kind of stop that, but we made note through our MOP of all of those comments. And so we then realized that we needed to change the curriculum. So one of the big things that we've changed in our curriculum is that we only have one health champion per group of 12 household participants. And then we have instructed them on how to incorporate one person in that group for that week of curriculum that might then be someone they could mentor along and have assist with delivering the curriculum so that we are along the way equipping the other participants with more knowledge and capability to continue on with their learning. Does that make sense? So that's why the sessions are longer. They wanted more demonstration sessions. So rather than a lot of instruction, they really wanted us to bring in more experts to really demonstrate, you know, how to create a healthy recipe out of a recipe that you love, but maybe it's not the best thing for you, too much salt, too much sugar. So these are the revisions that we're making and modifications we're making to the pilot. And in the transition. At the end of the intervention, you know, they decided they wanted this big dinner kind of graduation. That's not something that we actually put into the intervention, but it's like, okay. So they planned a dinner, and we had tablecloths, and it was just a festive celebration. But one of the concerns that we had was that people felt like this was the end. And again, this goes back to incorporating more learning and teaching along the intervention, and that's why we now have a longer intervention, so that rather than, you know, because this is new information and I don't believe that the residents were accustomed to someone coming in and actually having their own peers teach them. So it was kind of like this was so new and it's like, well, how are we going to keep this going? It's like, well, we've taught you and we're not leaving. Like Block Watch, we're going to always be here with you, but we want to empower you. And I know this is different because you're used to someone coming in and giving a program to you, right? So I'm just so excited because we have already launched. We're now into the expanded retest. We have recruited 6 health champions. They are in their 5th week of training. We are actually recording their training so that they can come back and look as they begin the intervention at the conclusion of the intervention, really be able to see what they've learned and what they have been able to deliver. The other thing I wanted to share that I think is unique to the work we're doing, we as an organization are funded by the major health systems in our community around the issue of health disparities. And so what we see as our opportunity is to teach our health institutions how they can be a better partner in changing the lives of the residents, not that are just coming into their hospital, but in the neighborhoods they're located in. So Christ Hospital is our co-principal investigator. We are in an IRB through Christ Hospital. So I am the PI, and their director of wellness is our co-PI on this pilot study. And some of the really innovative things they've done is there's a lack of access to healthy food in Mount Auburn, which is the neighborhood where we're conducting the pilot study and the retest. And there's lots of corner stores, for those of you who were in the presentation yesterday. What we've been able to do is work with Christ Hospital's nutrition department and over-order the produce and then be able to sell that produce through the residents at their farmer's market. We're in locations that they select, but that's a partnership for the hospital using their CSA outside of their walls for the residents. And so I look forward to more innovative initiatives like that being developed to serve the needs and as we identify barriers with residents. This has been a really just a blessing for us and more so a blessing for the residents as you see them understand that and we're demystifying what research is and teaching you how you can be a part of your own health solutions. So I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you our Do Right Blog by Blog.